Welcome to the fifth episode of E Says, P Says, your weekly dose of black love. My name is Ellen, the E.
My name is Paul, the P. For those of you tuning in for the first time, we decided to start this podcast to celebrate a milestone in our relationship. As of 4/22/24, we will be married for 35 years. Each week, we'll share a part of our relationship with you so you can see what has brought us this far and will take us even further. And this week, we will lighten it up a bit and share some things that we love/hate about each other. And being the gentleman that I am, I will let the lady go first.
Thanks so much for that intro. I won't be too hard on you, especially since we are 10 days away from the big 3-5 anniversary. First off, let me say this list is not meant to be mean or vindictive. It is more meant to give a little levity and laughter. We all have things we feel our spouses do that work our nerves. I'm just daring enough to discuss them. So let's begin. Number 10, can be a jerk.
A jerk? How can I be a jerk? How can I be a jerk? In what instances have I shown myself to be a jerk?
Well, you requested that I not use the other word, so that's why I chose jerk. But we know you can be set in your ways and have certain things that you will not be moved by.
Okay, so I have certain non-negotiables?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Number 9, always ready and can never be found when it is time.
Oh my goodness. So, how can I be ready, but yet still never be found?
Hey, it happens. Who knew that?
That's an oxymoron.
In this small space, you manage to say you're ready, but nobody can ever find you when it's time to go or to complete whatever process it is that we were planning on doing.
Okay.
Number 8, very creative and talented.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
So, can you give me some instances where I've shown this creativity or talent?
You're a great writer.
Oh, thank you.
And you are a great storyteller, and you enjoy doing all the bells and whistles when it comes to the story that you read to the children or that you read in school. They love all of your voices and the characters that you become.
Well, thank you.
Just so exhausting for me.
Why is it exhausting for you when I do that?
I can never remember who is who when it comes to me. I'm not...
In the story?
Not inclined to make... all of those things happen. I just want to read it and be done.
Okay, the next one.
And the number 7 is you're a great teacher.
Whoa, thank you. Wow, that means a lot to me. What makes you think that?
You're very welcome.
I'll say that.
The reason I say that is a lot of your students have completed school because of your encouragement. And you're being able to, I guess, see them or connect with them in a way that they understand the importance of education, or at the least finishing this part of the education to get to the next step in life, whatever it may be for them.
What I always tell kids is that you don't have to be a rocket-sized scientist to be successful. And a lot of times you can just do things one step at a time and find little successes first before you get that big success. So that's all the strategies that I try to share with the kids. Try to get little successes first, and the big successes will happen. So thank you for that.
Not a problem, not a problem. Somebody has to teach those rascals. Number 6, you're funny.
Oh, thank you. What makes me funny sometimes?
You always have some anecdote, a story that you tell at some inappropriate time that has us laughing in the middle of a movie or a concert when everybody should be quiet.
Or church.
Or church.
All right.
Number five, a great talker.
Mm. So when you say great talker, what do you mean by that?
You can,
as far as just conversations with people, or
I would say conversations with people, and you could talk your way out of a paper bag. Somehow, whatever the words are that come out of your mouth, people are willing to listen and respect those words. Mm. To the point that when we first got married, I thought we were going to be getting divorced because you would go out to the store and want to help the whole neighborhood while I'm trying to finish cooking. And there were no cell phones, so let's say that at that time.
Right.
So I could not just call and say, come on, Paul, I need whatever. And there were no beepers then either, I don't think.
Right, well, they were, but they were expensive. Mm-hmm. And I know it was hard for you to realize what I would say to you. People was actually to stop me and want to talk all the time. And I just couldn't believe it. And I would get off, you know, we lived in New York City at the time. And we lived on St. John's, but the train was on Franklin Avenue, and I had to walk down Franklin Avenue to get to St. John's. And then we also lived on Sterling Place, and people would stop me, would ask me questions, want to talk to me all the time. And you know, passing that barbershop would be the death of them, because a lot of my friends were in that barbershop. I knew the owner of the barbershop. They always wanted to talk about sports or whatever, the things that happened during the day in the city or whatever. So it was always something going on.
Yeah, they should have named you Street Jesus. And number four, receptive to another opinion.
Mm, okay. And I think that's why I would get stopped a lot of times, just to go back to that. Because I would listen to people's opinions about things, or just listen to people. And I value other people's opinions. I just didn't tell them that their opinion didn't matter. I think that's one thing that makes me a good teacher, too, that I'm always willing to listen to kids.
And I agree. I agree, because our parents did not listen to us. Mm-hmm. We came up in a time where it was children should be seen and not heard. Mm-hmm. Although that had its advantages. We got lots of good gossip. Lots of stuff we shouldn't have known. Because we were standing back someplace until they realized that we were standing there.
But I do think that mentality of children should be seen and not heard, that closed a lot of kids off. And it made a lot of kids not willing to share their feelings or their emotions. So that's the negative piece to that. And some kids felt that they would get spanked or punished for, you know, saying certain things or sharing certain feelings or emotions. So, or they would be teased, right, for saying certain things or sharing certain emotions. So, that wasn't always a good thing to be seen and not heard.
It was a different time. Mm-hmm. However, We do have a tougher skin.
Yeah, because of it. True. Yes. Yeah, during our time, every kid didn't get a trophy.
No.
You did understand what it meant to lose.
And, yes.
And losing hurt. You know, it hurt. So.
Not only lose, then they dance on your grave.
Yeah, so it was tough. Okay.
All right. Number three, your great dad.
Oh. So what makes you... I saw that on your, I see that on your list. What makes you think that I'm a great dad? Well, I was a great dad. I have been a great dad to our kids.
A lot of times, the things that you put into teaching, you put into mm-hmm. your children. Mm-hmm. Although sometimes, just like most of us, it has to be redirected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you were always willing to listen to your children.
Right.
I would think y'all were watching the game and you'd be like, no, so-and-so talked through the whole game. I didn't even really watch the game. I was just talking to kid A or kid B.
Right.
So, and
I know Ryan would talk, and he would talk if he wanted to watch the game, but I would listen to them. And he could talk, I mean, he would talk, we would talk watching the game. He talked 2 or 3 hours. It was important for me, and I would be tired, but it was important for me to listen to what he had to say. And it was important to him. And even though I was tired, I would still listen. And I think a lot of parents need to understand that sometimes, that there are times when you're tired, but your kids want to talk, and you have to be there to listen. And that's very important to kids, that their parents are listening to them. Because guess what? If you don't listen to them, they're going to find somebody to listen. And that may be a person you don't want them to be around or to be in their orbit. So it's always try to be there for your kids. It's important.
I would agree with that. I would agree.
And then our other son, William, the same way with him, right? He was a kid. He liked to read stories. And you knew yourself the way you dealt with where he would read and read and read. He wants you to read stories half the night. And he was there half the night if you allowed it. But it was important for him to know, hey, my parents are engaged. My parents see me. They know that I'm here. So that was important, too.
All I will say is thank you, public school system. Because once he learned how to read, my life was forever changed. I wish I would have thought about that, teaching them to read. Although we still had to go into the room and tell him to turn the flashlight out. But he was definitely our reader. He couldn't wait to learn how to read.
Oh, my God. He loved it. He loved books and reading. Okay.
And number two, you're a good friend.
Oh, thank you. So what makes me a good friend, honey?
You're a keeper of many secrets. You're if your friends need you, mm-hmm. you're on the phone or you're in a car or you're however it is,
right.
you get there so you can help them with whatever it is.
Right.
And with a lot of our friends, because we've known them since college, mm-hmm. it's the same Paul then as it is the Paul now.
I think it's important to be a good friend. That's very important. I think a lot of times people take friendship for granted. And though I don't talk to my friends every day, they know that I'm there for them if they need me. And I know that they're there for me if I need them. So that's the most important thing. So friendship is something that, what I've learned is not to take friendship for granted.
I would agree on that one. I would agree. And number one, the number one reason that I love Paul is he is always my protector and strongest supporter.
Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome, because I sure needed it.
So why? You would get yourself in some situations, Ellen.
Sure did. And although I'm not a tiny woman, there were in my younger years, I get, you know, raising children, mm-hmm. dealing with some stuff Paul and I had gone through. I was just very, I would say, just very ready. I was on 10 or 20. And anybody, with it, as they say now, could catch a stray. You say two wrong words, and that was it. So I needed backup. And when Paul would show up, everybody else would back up.
You never knew with you, honey. You never knew the situation.
No. But
that's okay. We got through it.
Yes. But I can say if ever I felt like somebody was trying to wrong me, we had a problem.
We were very lucky. Lord, the good Lord was with us.
Yes, I agree with that. I agree with that one. Well, that was quite fun, Mr. Mock. Are there any more questions or comments about my list?
No, not right now. I think I'm fine.
All righty. Well, now it's your turn, Paul, to share your list. LOL, also known as laughing out loud. I hope your list is as good as mine.
Okay, so for you, Miss Ellen, number 10, and these are the things that I like most or dislike the most about you. Number 10, you're a quick thinker.
What does that mean?
It means you know how to think on your feet in a situation, and you're able to think quickly and efficiently.
Good to know.
You're an excellent reader. I mean, one time you were in this kid, you were reading, you were ordering novels, and I mean, you were reading those novels too. You know, you were like on a reading kick. And I think that you were always a good example for our kids about the importance of reading. Because both of our children are excellent readers, and they read for enjoyment. They enjoy reading. So I think you were a great example. Great mother. You know, you're a great mother, tremendous mother. You've mothered not just our two sons, but other children within the extended family as well, and helped them become respectable young men. And sometimes I would think that you were too hard, sometimes too harsh. But then I came to the realization that, and I remember one time you said, and even your mother said, y'all are raising men. So, and I was like, wow, I never thought about it that way. And I remember one time you told me that I was the weak link.
Yes, and still are. You start out rough, rah, 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 and then 10 minutes later, if the children need it.
They still my babies. And I know they think I'm the harm, but maybe they don't. Maybe they think that I am the weak link. They believe that I'm the weak link. I don't know.
All I know is anybody that knows Paul, you would think that his children would be more, I guess, not subservient, but more or less challenging, I guess, to him. But they treated him like he was 2 feet tall.
Because they knew I wasn't gonna spank him or stuff like that. I don't really believe in spanking. So they knew that I wasn't gonna do that. And I would try to talk to them and stuff like that first. You know, but they knew that you were the heavy hitter. So they understood. They knew that. So that I think that you always had our kids back. Always been there for our kids. And you always valued. Another thing, too, because I wasn't always the teacher, you know, my whole life. So you really valued education. And for them at a young age, particularly our oldest son, when nobody believed in him. They all thought that he was going to be special ed. Nothing wrong with being in special education, but they had really misidentified our son, my oldest son. So you fought hard to make sure that he got what he needed to get, and you really believed in him. You worked with him to get him to where he is today. You believed in him. No other people believed in him. You did. You believed that he could be successful. And he was. You know, what I found out, parental belief and hard work and support for their kids is probably one of the main things, besides them having good teachers, are probably the most important things that can help a kid be successful. Not only in school, but in life. And so that has been your, to me, probably one of your greatest achievements, your motherhood.
Well, I truly appreciate that. Thank you so much. I'm quite sure our oldest son sees that another way. But he as well followed in your footsteps, and he is a great teacher as well. And he is my... I guess my encyclopedia. Whenever his brother is telling me something that I know is incorrect, I'm like, hold on, let me call your brother. And that stops the argument. He's like my Google. Google encyclopedia. He can rattle down the stats in almost any sport and any topic that you choose to discuss. I guess he is his father's son, a chip off the old block.
Yep. Okay, you can be stubborn at times.
Well, I had all these men around me. What do you want me to do?
Don't use that as an excuse. Because you got men around you, you're going to blame the gender. It's in the household.
Yeah, I was surrounded.
Oh, please.
And the kids that came were all men, too.
But that's what... Yeah, but do you feel that you could be stubborn at times? Do you disagree?
I had to stand my ground.
You had to stand your ground. You had to have 10 toes down. Exactly. That was trying to say, okay, all right, fine.
I was the queen. I had to,
Okay.
Just like Mama D said.
I'm not going to argue that point.
Queen of the castle.
Oh my God. Sometimes you won't admit when you're wrong.
Hey, if that's a flaw, I can't help you with that.
Oh my God. But do you admit that sometimes you can't admit that you're wrong?
I can't help you with that.
You can't help me. So exactly. You can't, it's either yes or no.
No, and I can't answer that
for you. Oh my goodness. You are determined to succeed. You are very determined. I give you that. You have worked hard. You always pushed yourself to be successful, from being in the real estate game to getting your degree, your paralegal studies degree from UMUC, and then also getting your from Frederick Community College when you got your associates in cybersecurity. So one thing I can say, you've always been very determined to, when you set a goal, you push yourself to try to achieve the goal.
I'll agree with that. Mm-hmm. And now I'm tired.
Now you're tired. I understand.
It was a lot of work. I wish we were more settled when we were younger.
Right. Yeah.
I would have had more energy to do all of that, but now I'm tired.
Yeah. Lack of money is a trigger for you.
Lack of money is a trigger for everyone.
That can be true. How does it impact you if you don't have money?
It can be very stressful. Okay. I guess it sends me, like you say, it's a trigger. It sends me to a space and time in my life I don't want to be.
Right.
So you think I'd have $1 million in the bank. But, sure. Why do that?
Dreamer. You're a dreamer.
Always have been. Mm-hmm. If I can find my old report cards, that's all. She's always daydreaming. Well, the teachers were boring. I had to do something.
Oh, my goodness. Business owner. Has your own real estate business, t-shirt business, and virtual assistant business. What that I can say about you, that's one thing you've always tried to do, be an entrepreneur. And I respect that. You know, show me a lot of good examples of what it means to be a business owner. I think it helped us as a family to see you working that hard and then us helping you, even when you were doing real estate, the envelopes and getting stuff, mailings out, and me and the boys helping you with that. And I think another thing we saw too, what you have in your own business at that particular time, was how hard a person has to work when they have their own business. You work a lot harder when you have your own business than when you work for someone else. That's one thing we saw.
I agree totally. Even in this day of social media, when you're working on anything and it includes that piece,
right?
You still work hard.
Yes.
But if it's something that you love and enjoy, it's not work. Mm-hmm. It's just processes that you have to go through to become successful in whatever it is that you want to do.
And so that's important too. Another thing I never mentioned, and you know, I remember you used to go to schools and you would go speak. And I didn't know if that was a part of your business or not, but you would do that. You would go to the schools, different schools, not here in Frederick County, but like even in Baltimore County, you would travel and go talk to children and do that on you. And I thought that so impressive that you were doing that and to help the young people, to give them hope and to talk to them about certain professions and things of that nature. You would do that. And so I never mentioned that to you, but I just wanted, since we're doing this podcast, I wanted the world to know how impressed I was that you did that, that you went out and did that and influenced other young people that were not really in your orbit, but you went outside of your orbit to impact other young lives. So, very impressive. And impressed with that you did that.
Well, thank you so much for that. Yeah. That was, as you know, we say at the closing of our show, that you don't always have to give tithes.
Right.
You can give your time. Mm. And I was given my time. I think it was the Maryland Teachers Program or something like that. I can't remember the exact name. Right. But we would, you would do a training, and what you would do is go out and to the schools in the state of Maryland,
right,
and spend about an hour or so with a group of kids in 9th and 10th grade to kind of get them on track to understand the cost of living, the decisions that they would need to make, whether they wanted to go to college or a trade school. It was very informative. And the reason I left Frederick is the group of kids I wanted to talk to were more inner city kids. I felt that at that time, the kids in Frederick were getting that.
Right.
And I'll look it up. But if anybody in the state of Maryland wants to do something for the kids, it's very good. It would, as time passed, I got better at my presentation, but you would go over the cost of living.
Right.
And I would get my little money so that they could see, you know, how much it costs for car payments, rent, et cetera, and so forth. So they would understand, if you're making this much at this place, here's your salary, and now break that down. And then they would have the slides and the things that go with the presentation. Right. And the kids and the students enjoyed it. And most of the time, some of those classes were the special classes. But they would listen to me for the time that I was there. And I wonder, it's been so long, if that presentation touched some of those kids.
Right.
And cause them to get on a better track.
I'm sure they probably did. He probably influenced a lot of kids. Kids that you may never see again. But he probably had a huge impact on them.
Yes.
So, and the number one reason, you know, I love you is you love me unconditionally. And you always have my back.
Well, somebody has to.
Do you have any comments or questions on my list, Helen?
No, that was a great list.
Thank you.
Although I don't understand about not admitting I was wrong. I don't understand. I still don't understand that's the problem.
Okay. You're disproving my point, but go ahead.
So, as always, when it comes to the work that you do, you've outdone yourself.
Thank you.
With that said, next week we return with another aspect of our relationship. The belief systems that have changed. And our disclaimer, we are not therapists, just hoping to help others through our crazy love story.
Shout out to everyone who took a few moments out of their day to listen. We hope that anything you heard was helpful.
If you want to do something, donate your time, talent, or funds to a cause you feel is worthy, or just send a note of thank you to someone you know working hard at whatever it is that they do and making lasting change in their field. And if you feel so moved, please check out our merch at our Etsy store, Ease Tees, or use the Linktree link.
Thanks for joining us this week on E Says, P Says, your weekly dose of Black love. Check us out on our social media platforms, Facebook, E Says, P Says, Instagram, at E Says, P Says, TikTok, at E Says, P Says, YouTube, at E Says, P Says, Live, and on X, at E Says, P Says. And make sure you subscribe so that you don't miss any of our episodes. And feel free to leave any questions or comments on one of our platforms. See you next week.